Who invented that machine?
I don't know. This one was made by the Japanese, Sony. And it's been real good. We've had good success with it. How has farming really changed just since you quit farming, Mr. Clavis?
Well, all heavier machinery. We used to cut our grain with a binder, and two, three horses hooked up to it, you know. Then you had to chop it all up and put it in, and then haul it in, and when it was in, then you thrashed it and blew it outside again. Now they got the self-propelled combine. You can see the grain going in there and thrash it about behind you. They come with a tractor and a gravity box wagon, haul it to the grain, they get a carrier. We used to carry it all in grain bags when we were thrashing with thrash machines. That was hard work. We didn't have time to get a drink of water. We had to be on the go if grain was good. About four guys carry it.
To get it in before rain or something? Or
no. When they started thrashing, well, some different people had machines, thrashing machine and a big tractor, and they had a crew and they went around. I went along for 8 years with a crew like that, and we slept in barns and all over, took a couple old blankets with us.
Would the people who owned the farm you were working on, did they provide your food?
Mm-hmm. Five meals a day.
5 meals?
We always had lunch for forenoon and afternoon. Yeah.
How many men would be on a crew?
Let's see, it was 5, 7, 8, about 9 and the man tending to the tractor and the other one to the machine.
So there'd be up to 15 men, I guess.
And then 4 to carry bags, 1 man to make the straw stack. That was a dirty job.
What is that?
With the straw come out of the blower, you know. You could turn that blower any place on the back of the machine. And years ago, they had a carrier, and you had to have as many men to keep the straw away as you had in the mouth to pitch the bundles. But then they got that blower going, and that blew it out.
So the farmer's wife on that farm would have to fix food 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
For 15 or 20 extra people.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you eat, outside?
No, inside. Oh, we had a nice heavy table at our house. There could be about 16 eat on there at once. We had 10 extra leaves in that table.
So you'd have, when you say 5 meals, you mean full meals with meat and vegetables and...
Well, the 3 main meals were the full meals, and the lunches, they were lighter. You had bread, butter, bologna, and cake or donuts or something like that, and coffee. Sometimes we would trash in the field, and then they had a keg of beer along.
Did your family make beer on the farm?
No, never. We made no drinks of no kind.
I see. Because I know some farms around here, they did make their own.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the summer months or something like that.
But that was sour at home brewed beer. But there's lots of people made moonshine here.
Really?
Really. You bet.
During Prohibition?
Yes.
Did they sell it?
Did they sell it? Well, I guess they couldn't make enough.
Was it what we call white lightning?
Yeah. I see your state's got lots of it yet.
Yes.
I don't know how many they caught there last year, around 800.
In the mountains of North Carolina.
Yeah.
They do have that still.
It's a big deal, I'll tell you. See that mash just bubbling up and down that corn with it, fermenting. I see lots of it. That was a dirty deal. between here and the pier that was all taverns years ago. And I guess the federal men come from Milwaukee and they must have caught about 20 guys. And them lawyers here in Green Bay, they got them all free. I used to go sit in the courthouse when I had nothing to do and listen to those cases. That was fun.
I bet it was hard to enforce prohibition in state.
And the prohibition men, they all had little bottles about that high, the one about this big around with a sample of that stuff in. I wonder what the judge thought. Oh, that was something. Yeah, and up north in the woods it was the same way. Fellow made moonshine there, he took every money off to cook it. At night we'd drink it. I was lucky one night, I was closer to the door, I finally got outside anyway.
Did their steels ever blow up on them?
No.
No?
No.
I've heard of that happening.
Oh, sure. Oh, in Chicago here, there were stills. My brother, he lived west of Chicago, I forget, in Cicero. That's where Capone was, you know. And that building was supposed to be a sawmill. The smoke was coming out of the chimney. They were cooking alcohol to beat Billy L. But he had the whole floor in one of the downtown biggest hotels there was, eh?
Al Capone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know there was money.
He used to go up north in Wisconsin, too, to some resort area of Wisconsin.
Sure. I stopped, we went to Ashland one time, my brother and I, and I don't know if you were too young to remember that, when Dillinger was on the warpath. What they called Little Bohemian up there, and we seen that where them bullet holes were in and windows and all over, but they got out of there just the same.
He was finally captured in a movie theater, I think.
Well, he got killed when he come out. They dropped him on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Where was that, in Chicago?
In Chicago.
Yeah, I'm too young to remember, but I've heard the stories about it.
I seen, they had a picture on TV one time of his life.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't born till after World War II, Mr. Clavitz. How did World War II affect you? As far as your life?
Well, it... that rationing, that was the worst part of it. Everything was rationed.
Did it affect the farmers, especially?
Not too much. If you were short of butter, you could keep some milk out and let the cream rise to the top and make your own. The first that we made butter on the farm, we had a churn that was built up like this. Maybe you've seen them, with a cover on and a...
Yeah, a crockery one.
Yeah, and up and down to the... Then we had another one in the stand, but we cranked, and there was a little hole in the cover in the glass, and when nothing stuck to that glass anymore, then you had butter inside. You didn't have to open it.
I see. Oh, it turned paddles inside the jar. Is that what?
Yeah, that's right.
Wooden paddles inside this big jar. I've seen them.
That thing would keep on tumbling, you know. You'd get a good price for that at an antique if you had one now.
I have one.
You have one. We'll have to steal that.
Did you have a tractor? When
yes.
You were farming with
Scott? Yes.
Did you have enough gasoline for that during the war?
Yes, we did.
Was there a special...
Well, you got stamps so much a week for your car, but for your tractor, you couldn't get tractor for it. Plenty, but there's a lot of farmers use gas gasoline for the tractor in the car too.
I see.
Of course, whatever we used to get the tax refund from Madison, see? So then one time, I sent in how many gallons I used, and they wrote me back, where do you use your gas? Well, when the polio epidemic was on, Mrs. got a job again at the hospital. She had been out for a number of years, and I had to take her because she didn't drive. And that was 26 miles before I got back home. Then at 11 o'clock at night, I had to go and pick her up again. Well, they didn't make no monthly or a fuss about that. They sent me my rebate right away.
This was during the war?
Yeah. Shoes was rationed. Butter was rationed. It was right here at Three Corners. I went in there with my stamps one time where this guy that's doing that catering service, now I forget what his name is.
Toots,
yeah. But there was a Kaufman in there. And I want 5 pounds of sugar. Say, he said, I can get you all the sugar you want. He said, you want enough to make moonshine? I said, no, I got enough for my family. I said, that's plenty. So he gave me a 100-pound sack to go home with besides.
Was it black market?
27 cents a pound. That was lots that time.
Well, where did he get all that sugar, though?
I don't know where they got it. One fellow from Champion, he had a whole truckload coming from Milwaukee or Chicago. And up here on Bay Settlement someplace, he ran in a ditch in the wintertime with it, and he had to get a county truck to pull him out, and he got by with it.
It must have been on the black market.
Sure. You take a lot of cattle to Milwaukee to the stockyards, come back with a load of sugar. Poor devil is dead now. Didn't benefit at all by it. But that was quite a deal, just the same, this prohibition. And they knew when it was going to end. Old man Kennedy had warehouses full in New York.
Joseph Kennedy.
And the minute that Roosevelt signed that law against prohibition, the whole country was flooded. That's where they made their millions. And it all came from Scotland and England. That's why he got to be ambassador to the court of St. James that time.
Do the Flemish Belgians, Mr. Clavitz, do they have the same customs as the Walloon Belgians? I mean,
pretty much.
It's just the language that is different.
Yeah. In around Sugarbush, they still talk much their mother tongue, the Belgian language. Not that they can't talk English. But if two Belgians meet, it's not English, it's Belgium again.
So the Flemish was more with the Dutch, I guess, more like the
and
Dutch.
And the Holland. You know, maybe you remember last summer there was a big plane load of about 250 of those Wallop Belgians came here. I was at the church over here. They come and visit our church and then visit Bay Beach and the courthouse. They were well dressed, and I tell you, they had some pretty nice cameras with them taking pictures. And then there's a fellow here by the name of Bader. He had been over there. Bader, regular Belgians. And he talked to them, and Father Shue, he'd say what should be said in English, and Bader would tell them in Belgium.
Were there as many Flemish Belgians as Walloon Belgians around here?
Just about.
But around where you lived was
all Flemish.
Yeah.
Then a mile from there was a different nationality. Then the Belgians started. That was funny. Here was the Flemish, there were the Belgians. South of us was Polish. East of Poland was Bohemian at Pilsen. Denmark was Norwegian.
Do you know why like your grandfather settled in Humboldt?
Well, I don't know how they really got out there. I can't tell. I don't know what the fare was from Europe, but from New York to Green Bay here was about $12.
By train?
Yeah. Today it's a lot different.
And the Flemish Belgians were all Catholic?
Not all of them. No. There's a new cemetery on the Humboldt Road there where the non-Catholics are buried. And they had a church there on the Humboldt Road, and then they moved that up to Wikwiok there someplace.
Presbyterian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know there were any Protestants, but... Do you know what families?
Oh, I knew them, sure. But that never come up. Yeah, there was no trouble, no religious factions of any kind around there. They all worked together, visited one another.
When you got through with elementary school, you went to the 8th grade, Mr. Clavett?
No, I went about the 5th grade. I tell you, we stayed home in the fall, the kids, and they worked. To the pretty near the time the snow to fall, then we went to school.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, when the snow was gone, then we stayed home again. That was the way education run those days.
You mean all the kids did
this? All the kids did that. Not the girls, they went to school. There's only two graduated out of 8th grade in one division school.
Both girls?
No, they were both boys.
Where were your teachers from? Did they speak Flemish?
No. We had a lot of teachers from De Pere. And one was an Indian, and I wish I'd meet him today at Crown Hill.
Why?
The first day I went to school, I got the damnest tripping up that I ever got in my life.
What did you do?
I whispered to another guy, "Wow!" He held my hand in his, and then did I ever get it across here.
Did you speak English when you went to school?
Mm-hmm.
At home, did you speak Flemish or English?
Well, the folks, they used to talk to us in Flemish mostly, and we'd answer in English.
I see.
Because it was easier for us. And then later on, they talked in English all the time, too. Unless the old people would get together, they kept on talking the Flemish to each other.
If the people graduated from 8th grade and they wanted to go on, was there any place for them to go?
The closest was Oshkosh University. Normal. Well, that was a normal school that time.
Trained teachers?
Yeah.
But I guess it was very unusual for anybody to go on.
The very few went. Here, 10 years ago, there was such a shortage of teachers, and now the market is flooded with them.
That's true. I was a teacher.
You were? My youngest son is teaching too at Sheboygan Falls. 1 year he taught at Merle, and then he went over there. Merle was a pretty small town.
Did your children stay out of school to help on the farm at all?
No. My daughter, she was mad if she had to stay home one day. The bus went by about 3 blocks from home, and it was raining blue streaks one morning, and she couldn't go out there. I didn't get there when the bus went by with the car. I had to take her 9 miles to school to Luxembourg.
They had gone to water division for elementary, yeah, and then yeah, went to Luxembourg?
Yeah.
For high school, I guess.
For high school, yeah. And now they're all going to high school over such a big district. It takes in up to the bay way up there. Then someplace north of New Franken, the district meets with the one that comes to Preble. New Franken didn't want to go to Luxembourg, they wanted East High. So they got East High.
Do you remember when Preble was consolidated with Green Bay?
Sure do.
Do you remember anything about it? What?
Well,
why it took place?
I don't know why they wanted that. The fellow that wanted it worst of all, he's dead now.
Who was that?
A fellow by the name of Vandenbosch. And when I went to the hospital here, that before he this winter, then he was laid in the room where I went and was put in. I'm a diabetic. I stepped out of that room and I fell on my face right here. And I was home alone. I was in 25 days that time before they got that insulin just where it had to be.
Preble joins Humboldt, right?
That's right.
Was there any discussion of Humboldt joining the city?
No, that's too far away. But now Preble up this way here, they're gaining in new homes here on Edison Jr. and then beyond that, that's really growing.
Were there any people in Preble who didn't want to join the city?
Oh, there's always that faction. And you can't blame them much. People that paid $300-$400 taxes there on an 80-acre farm, the first year they were in with Green Bay, they paid $1,400. Well, you couldn't earn that off it on an 80-acre farm. But then they came down with that. You know, we're going to be reassessed here next year. They just appropriated $500,000 for that, the city council. Humboldt was reassessed this year. Well, there was nice new homes there and they weren't paying any taxes.
So was your farm, where your son lives, was that reappraised?
That was reappraised, but I don't know just how much.
How much tax did you pay on it in your days?
Well, I started at about $87 a year taxes.
For how many acres?
For 90 acres. Now it's $1,300. But look at all the conveniences you got now. Your road is open every day of the winter. Your kids are transported to school. You got mail routes. You got milk routes.
How did you get your mail when you were growing up?
It came out to Sugarbush to the store, what they called that shitter that time. Twice a week we used to go there. Then later on it came within a mile of our farm. And then later on, they opened two routes out of New Franken, and then they came by. Now they figure on closing that New Franken post office again. They want to close 12,000 of those little post offices. I talked to the postmaster here about 3 weeks ago, but he's all right. He had 4 years in the service in the Second World War. That counts. That was his pension rights. And he's in 24 years already, so if they close it up, he can just sit down.
What did you do in the wintertime when roads weren't plowed? And
we walked snowbanks. And I tell you, the snow got pretty deep. They used to have them caterpillars that could make about 3-4 miles an hour. Their brute power had just pushed that snow away from into the window there. When the wind came, they'd fill that up again. Now they come with plows and they throw it from here to the middle of the street. They can take a few storms before they're blocked in. Then if it gets too bad, they got that road there that Brown County has. That's a control for a block putting there. Some fellas, they got their mailbox stuck in the concrete block and the plow hits that, it's gone. Laid up for 2 weeks.
So you couldn't go by horse or anything during the winter when the snow was deep? You couldn't take a horse?
Yeah, you could.
Or a sleigh?
But we used to cut the fences and go through all everybody's fields. That was something that.
You mean you would cut the fence?
Sure, take a plier along and cut the fence.
Then what, when spring came, what did
you... Well, then you ought to close it up again.
Well, thanks very much for your time,
Mr. Clevis.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you brought this along.